Good afternoon, everybody. It is April 17, 2015. It's 3:30 p.m. on Friday. Let the record show that we have with us today Senator Gardner, Senator Huggins, Senator Diesel, Senator Stevens, and myself, Senator Dunleavy. There is one item on the agenda today, and the purpose of our meeting today is a confirmation hearing for Governor Walker's latest appointment to the State Board of Education, John Harmon, Principal Newman Christie Catholic High School in Anchorage. And we're going to invite Mr. Harmon to give us some opening statements, and then we'll begin a series of questions to get to know him better in order for us to be able to make an educated decision in terms of his confirmation. So, with that said, Mr. Harmon, are you online?
Yes, I am.
Now, I know, thank you for being here. I know you've gone through this morning early, and we really appreciate you being here for our meeting here this afternoon. So all five senators of the committee are here. I'm Senator Dunleavy. And so if you can state your name for the record, and then your purpose in being online, your confirmation hearing, and then give us some background on yourself, please.
Senator Dunleavy and Senators, my name is John Harmon. I am here for a confirmation hearing with the Senate Education Committee for the position on the Alaska Board of Education and Early Development. Thank you for the opportunity to address this group. First, a little bit about myself. I attended Grace Review Elementary School, graduated from Palmer High School. I taught for a little bit before I went off to law school. I was a substitute teacher at Palmer High School and a college instructor at Mat-Su College. Went off to law school, practiced law for a number of years with a large law firm, and spent most of my time as a corporate in-house counsel for a Fortune 100 company, Nationwide Insurance. I returned to Alaska to return home to my family, and have been in Alaska the past 5 years. I spent 3 years as the president of Charter College, and most recently, my current position, I am the principal of Lumen Christi Catholic High School in Anchorage. I enjoy education. I'm a strong supporter of education, and I believe as Alaskans, we have a responsibility to develop our students socially, intellectually, and physically. If appointed to the Alaska Board of Education and Early Development, I would work for a continued flexibility in education, innovation, improved student learning, and the implementation of technology to prepare our students for today's world. As you folks know, Alaska is facing a budget challenge. I consider myself a problem solver, an innovator, and a collaborator. I think we should consider this time in Alaska history as an opportunity to work with the school districts throughout the state and with the legislature to find long-term solutions for funding education and the additional challenges of education in the state. I believe in Alaska we have accomplished a great deal if we can find a solution for education sustainability and for all of the students in Alaska and the hardworking teachers, administrators, and staff dedicated to Alaska education. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I'm now going to open it up for questions from members of the committee. Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Mr. Harmon. You have very impressive credentials, and thank you for being willing to serve in this position. At some point, as a very successful attorney, you decided to return to education. What would cause you to do that? How did that come about?
Yes, through the chair, Senator, I thank you for your question. Actually, education has always been a passion of mine. When I first attended college, I was planning to be an educator. My father was a school psychologist, a teacher and a school psychologist, and a principal. He retired from the Anchorage School District. He was at Chugiak High School. And my family, I have a family of educators. Even when I was in Columbus, Ohio, where I practiced law for most of my practicing legal career, I was a regular adjunct instructor at Capital University, a regular guest speaker at The Ohio State University, and again, I just enjoyed teaching and education. When I returned home and went to Charter College, again, I was in the classroom, I was teaching, and when I joined Lumen Christi, part of the agreement was that if I was going to join as an administrator, that I would have at least one class, so I've been teaching classes here, and I'm looking forward to next year where I'll be teaching an English literature class.
And if I could just follow up on that, Mr. Chairman. So, I assume you've left a career that's very well paid for a career that's probably not quite so well paid. What do you find fulfilling about being in education?
Through the chair, Senator, I thank you for your question. And, you know, just working with students, I've always enjoyed education myself. I've attended a number of colleges and universities. I have my bachelor's, I have my master's in science and education. I have a Juris Doctorate degree. I've attended various postgraduate programs from the University of Pittsburgh and Duke. And, you know, I've always enjoyed education. I enjoy seeing students excel and learn. I enjoy working with the youth. Everybody has something they're good at, and you know, part of education is finding out what it is and making our students be the best that they can be.
Thank you, Mr. Harmon.
Let's open up for committee members to ask questions. Senator Gardner?
Thank you, and thank you very much for your willingness to serve on the board of education. You talked a little bit about teaching and how you came to it. Are you a credentialed teacher?
Through the chair, Senator Gardner, thank you for your question. I am not a certified teacher in the state of Alaska, no.
Okay. And as a principal, is there a certification that you have?
Through the chair, Senator, thank you for your question. I am certified. I do have my Master's of Science in Education.
Thank you very much. I don't even know really what certifications principals have, but thank you.
Type B's.
Type B? Okay.
Questions?
Yep,
questions?
That's my question.
I'm going to have several. I'm just waiting. I'm just giving the other committee members a chance. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, Mr. Harmon, Charlie Huggins here from Wasilla. We would cut to it pretty quickly here. Your curriculum, you know, we get lots of emails here, and your name shows up, and we start getting emails flying around about what the Lumen Christi Catholic curriculum looks like, and Common Core, and other sorts of things. So give us your version of what the curriculum is, what it's based on, and what's your influence and what you believe in.
Okay. Through the chair, Senator, thank you for your question. Senator Huggins, and it's an excellent question. I think there's a lot of misinformation out there. Lumen Christi has not implemented Common Core. We do not plan to implement Common Core. You know, to give you a little bit of background, we are a member of an association called the National Catholic Education Association. The National Catholic Education Association does support a modified version of Common Core. However, that association leaves it to the local archdioceses and schools whether or not they would like to adopt those standards and curriculum. Again, there was a discussion that came up a couple of years ago on whether or not the Catholic schools in Alaska should adopt Common Core, and I was very vocal with the group that it was not something that I supported, nor was it something that I wanted adopted at my school, and we have not adopted it at the school here.
Yeah, thank you. So, taken to the next step, I mean, why should we want you as member of the state school board versus your wife?
I think that's an excellent question. Again, through the chair, Senator, thank you for your question. I think I can bring a lot to this position. As you know, there's a lot of legal regulations and statutes to deal with education. There seem to be more of those every year. Likewise, it's great to have somebody that has experience in education. And sometimes people may say to me, well, you know, Mr. Harmon, you work at a private school. What experience do you have as it relates to education? And I can tell you, no matter the size of the school, the education issues really remain the same. You know, they include challenges such as repair of facilities, funding, salary increases, improving student learning, security, safety, operations, accreditation, staff training and retention, student retention, and unfunded mandates. And you may think, well, how does a private school have unfunded mandates? For example, the Archdiocese of Anchorage gives us Lumen Christi and the other Catholic schools requirements that we do certain background checks, we do certain trainings, and they don't give us funds for those. So part of what I have to do is figure out, you know, how to cover the expenses for those unfunded mandates. And I think it's important to note, too, with working in the school currently where I am, Alaska is made up of many small schools throughout the state. I believe there's 53 or so different districts out there, and they all have challenges. Actually, I think sometimes there are more challenges and unique challenges at the smaller schools. We have travel for sports. We have to deal with students being out of the classroom and still having them to be able to learn. We deal with the issues of burning out teachers because they have five different types of classes to prepare for. You know, every teacher needs to be multi-trained. You know, I do many functions if needed. I'm janitor. I help with the sports teams. I'm in the classroom. And I do think my experience would be valuable to the Board of Education. And thank you, Senator.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, follow up. Mr. Harmon, thank you for that. And you know, yourself and I think another gentleman that is a nominee has private school background, which is fine with me, and I'm proud of you. And it's kind of interesting in our society how we all want diversity until we have a little bit of it. So I can tell you there'll be people sitting by you that when they look at you, they will think you have a voucher tattoo on your forearm, and that you're looking at how you know, funnel money from the state treasury to a Christian school or something. So, I mean, you might as well go ahead and give us your 2 cents on that subject.
Through the chair, Senator, thank you for your question, Senator Huggins. I think it's an excellent question, and I've been asked that before. You know, what's my opinion on the Blaine Amendment, and is a repeal of that amendment from the Alaska Constitution one of my policy objectives? It is not. You know, my objective is to serve all of the students in the state of Alaska. I believe the issue of the repeal of the Blaine Amendment should be left to the legislators and the voters, not to the Alaska Board of Education and Early Development. I'm always cautious when government offers the private sector funds. As you know, it oftentimes comes with a contingency, and as such, I would have to see any specifics of legislation before I could comment. But again, that's the role of the legislators. That being said, as a private high school principal, you know, I would have to evaluate it, and I would be very hesitant to accept any public monies that were directed to private schools with strings attached. So, for example, if the strings attached were I had to adopt Common Core, or I may have to offer certain courses, I would probably say thank you, but no thank you. So to answer your question, Senator, you know, I have no policy objective to do what you have indicated. I mean, really, I do believe that issue should be left as it relates to the repeal of the Blaine Amendment to the legislators and the voters.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Harmon. And one more question for you. This is one more generic, and I would just ask you to have a bit of candor, but based on your experience. So you're sitting in the luminary, omnipotent position looking down on the state of Alaska, and you have every school out there, K-12, and you can do two things. You've been empowered. You're king for a day. What two things are you going to do to enhance the system for all students of Alaska?
Through the chair, Senator, thank you for your question. You know, I think if I had to do two things, and I think that's an excellent question, I would really look for synergies between the schools. I think that would be number one. So, for example, I think there are ways, having come from a business, having run at a college that needed to be, you know, operate in the black as well as a private school that needs to operate in the black. I would look at opportunities to have synergies where you could collaborate with school districts, with programs to meet the solutions of the students. So, for example, and we did this at the college when I was there, you know, we had a phenomenal instructor, and, you know, rather than having five or six different instructors throughout the charter college system, it made much more sense to us to have that phenomenal instructor teach the class and to have the three or four students at the different locations be part of that class through technology than it was to, you know, have separate classes where they were very smaller. And quite honestly, it really benefited the students because the more students, and again, there's a cap to this, but when you have a good group of students in a class, you know, they're working together, and it does enhance student learning. So, Well, I think that would be one opportunity, would be to look at the synergies within the different districts. You know, I think that the second thing I would, and this is more from a diversity perspective, but I think there are a lot of educational opportunities out there that people aren't aware of, and it may be collaborating in a little bit different fashion. So maybe more, rather than vertical, where it's one class, it may be more horizontal between different programs. And we actually do that here at my current school, where if we don't offer a program, we partner with the Anchorage School District, with a charter school, with an online program that can meet those needs. Because again, resources are limited, and it's very important in today's world when we have budget challenges to try to be innovative and think outside the box.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator.
Chairman. Yeah, and thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, of course, you know, Mr. Harmon, we have quite a diverse education committee here, and the colonel among us sometimes likes to throw a hand grenade in the middle of the table to get our attention, and they certainly did, but on the issue of vouchers, I appreciate your response, but it makes me think we should also go back to Common Core just a bit. You know, the state of Alaska, the Department of Education, has not accepted Common Core. They worked very hard throughout, for about a year, I think, throughout the state with teachers and principals and coming up with the Alaska standards. And they are simply standards. They don't tell you how to teach or what curriculum to use or what textbooks to use, but standards for our students to receive an education by. I just want to make sure that if you were appointed the board, would you be looking at trying to dismantle the last few standards, or would you try to find a way to make them work?
That's a great question, and what I would need, to be honest, is data. I mean, are the standards working? And this works with anything in a business or a school. You have to look at what's been put in place, what the purpose was, you know, what the results are. And again, if you're not achieving the results, maybe you don't have the right solution in place. So, you know, I mean, it's a great question, but I would need to have more data before I think I could fully give you a comprehensive and an accurate answer on it, Senator.
Sure, I understand. Thank you.
Senators, questions? Mr. Harmon, I have a question too. How many students do you currently have in your school?
Our current enrollment, it generally ranges between 80 and 100. We currently have 89 students at our school.
What grade levels?
Grade level 7 through 12.
How many teachers?
We have 8 full-time teachers and a number of part-time teachers.
And how many students do you anticipate graduating this year out of your senior class?
And through the chair, Senator, I think that's a great question. I think a lot of that depends on the students, but I would expect we would have 12 or 13.
And how many are in your senior class?
I believe we have 13 at this point.
So you expect potentially 100% could graduate?
Correct.
And what do most of your graduates do after they graduate? What career choices do they make?
Through the chair, Senator, thank you for your question. We make a number of different career choices. A number of the students, probably the majority of the students after graduation, go on to college. I would say the majority of them attend schools like the University of Alaska, Anchorage, the University of Alaska, Fairbanks, University of Portland, Alaska Pacific University, UCLA, Georgetown, Brandeis, the University of Idaho. And the list goes on. Quite honestly, there's probably as many Catholic colleges as non-Catholic. We have a number of folks that will oftentimes go into the military, and some choose or have chosen in the past. And again, please remember, I've only been here 2 years, but my understanding is in the past some of them have chosen to go to a career field first and then possibly pursue education or their interests later.
Okay. I'm going to keep asking questions, committee, unless you have someone you can just jump in. I'm sorry, Senator Stevens.
I don't mean to stop you mid-question.
No, go ahead.
I was interested in Charter College that you were involved in. What was your relationship with Charter College, and what did it do? Who did it reach in Alaska and in Anchorage?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator, you Thank you for your question. Charter College is a career, it's a private, for-profit career and technical school, and most of the students that came to Charter College were students from the public school system. It reached students really that had a career and technical interest. So, for example, while I was there, two of the biggest programs were the welding and the medical programs, and it trained students to be medical assistants. As you know, the medical field continues to grow across the United States, and due to the uniqueness of Alaska, welding was also another very popular program.
And as a follow-up, did you find the students came prepared, or was it necessary to to bring them up to speed with classes that were not really at a college level?
Through the chair, Senator, thank you for your question. It really depended on the students, and I would have to look at the data to accurately answer that question for you, but it really depended on the students. The students who weren't prepared, I don't know that we put them in remedial classes as much as we had tutoring services available, as well as we had an Office of Student Success. And the goal of the Office of Student Success was to understand what the students' challenges were and help them overcome it. You know, oftentimes the challenges weren't that the students weren't academically able to do the work. It was that they had other challenges in their lives, either, family situations or personal situations that were those barriers that they had to overcome first to be successful in a career.
And just a brief follow-up on that. So one of the complaints we receive from universities, from University of Alaska, about our recent high school graduates is that they do need remedial education. And that seems to be a fault of the K-12 system, that our students are graduating without being prepared to enter college or even the workplace. Do you have any comments on what you would do on the Board of Education to try to make sure that our students are prepared once they leave?
And through the chair, Senator, thank you for your question. That's an excellent question, and I think what you have to remember, the students attending college have a different different abilities to be successful maybe than those who are attending more of a technical and career school where they have an interest and they're able to handle it. I mean, the academics are much different. But to answer your question as it relates, what can we do to help encourage that? You know, I'm a big supporter of the teachers. I believe that the learning occurs in the classroom. The more we can support our teachers, that we can get them involved with the students, and they are. They are overtaxed. I think we really need to help them. I'm also a big proponent of writing. I think, you need to write, and that really lifts up a student's performance. So, I think, again, a focus needs to be in the classroom with the teachers to make sure that the students are being successful and prepared for college.
Thank you.
Mr. Harmon, can you share with us, I don't know if you have to because it's not public, but what your school budget is?
I don't believe I can share that at this point in time, but I can share you some information as it relates to the dynamics of the budget, if that's okay, Senator.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah. So it costs about $12,000 a year to educate a student, and when you're looking at that, about half of it is paid in tuition. We have to be creative in raising the other half. Now, the parish and the archdiocese contribute a little bit to that, but we rely on fundraisers and other third parties to help continue to support the cost of education so we can keep it down and keep our budget in the black.
Could you give us a typical course offering classes that, let's say, a junior or senior would take? What would they take in a given day?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. It really depends. But for example, and I'm sorry, through the chair, Senator, thank you for your question, but an example would be 11th grade, they would have world literature, they would probably have trig, pre-calculus or statistics, chemistry or another science elective, U.S. government, they need to take a requirement of Alaska history. We have a theology class, there probably would be in Spanish two or three, or possibly PE in another elective. We have various electives. If there's something you're interested in that we don't offer at our school, again, we have affiliations and partnerships where they may take classes at the University of Alaska in Anchorage, at APU, the Anchorage School District, at one of the schools here, generally Diamond. We have a student right now taking a class over at Diamond, or through one of our other providers.
What's the typical level of math a graduate leaves your school with?
Generally, calculus. We try to make sure that they have, Algebra 2, pre-calculus, or calculus. We have it where we like to have the 9th grade students in Algebra 1. The 10th grade students take Geometry, Algebra 2, and again, the 11th grade Algebra 2 for pre-calculus and statistics. And then when they're 12th graders, oftentimes they'll take calculus. So, but it really depends on the student.
Okay. The legislature, by constitution, is charged with establishing and maintaining the system of public schools for the state of Alaska. And typically, we have a strong executive form of government, probably the strongest in of the 50 states, where the school board is appointed, obviously, or nominated by the governor, and then the legislature confirms the nominations, and the commissioner is confirmed by the school board, state school board. So it's a strong executive. Some of us, myself included, are looking for forging closer ties with the department as we go through these difficult budget times, but also as a result of some questions about our relationship with the U.S. Department of Education and the federal government. But long story short, how would you see us forging a closer relationship where we're not acting totally independent when it comes to policy making, as we get feedback, for example, from our schools? It depends on how you look at it, but we're either loving them to death or we're punishing them by numerous mandates, laws, U.S. Department of Education mandates, regulations, et cetera, et cetera. We've basically put our, this is my opinion, we basically put our teachers and our administrators in a straitjacket, and we expect them to be able to perform ballets and jujitsu without being able to use their limbs. How would you see us forming a closer relationship so that we, all of us, practitioners, teachers, principals, superintendents, legislators, school boards, we can all kind of get on the same sheet of music and do our best to align our resources and our purpose, our goals, and our mission so that we can get the outcomes that we want? What's your thoughts on that?
A good question, Senator, and through the chair, Senator, I thank you for your question. I think what I would look in a situation like that, and what it sounds like is, it's a communication issue, and you've probably heard this many times before. It's important to communicate, communicate, communicate. You can never communicate enough. And I think there could be a formal way to establish a communication. There's also the informal channels, which I think are very valuable. So, for example, and I've sat on the board before. I was on the Alaska Family Services Board out in Palmer, and one of the folks who was also on the board with me was Dr. Dina Promo, who I respect immensely. But to have those relationships with superintendents, board members with superintendents, with constituents, with folks who have concerns, I think it's very important. I know personally, again, my brother and his wife work for the Anchorage School District. My sister homeschools all four of her children out in the valley, out in Palmer, and I work for a private school. So I think it's interesting to see the different perspectives and to collaborate on what's best for students. And I'm a big supporter of parents choosing what they should, how they want to educate their children and to have those freedoms. And thank you for your question, Senator.
Questions from members of the committee. Senator Stevens.
Oh, thank you. Mr. Harmon, we have such an unusual school system with schools that are much smaller than your school and schools that are much larger than your school. Some of our schools have only 10 students, and so the problem is dealing with those schools, but also dealing with the local school board. So I'd like to know your thoughts on working with school boards, and we seem to have a strong feeling in this state about local control and parental control, and how would you as a school board, a state school board member, work with such a diverse group?
Yeah, and to the chair, Senator, you know, thank you for your question. I believe in those situations, you know, I would welcome the opportunity for those people to reach out to me if I was on the Alaska Board of Education Early Development. Likewise, I would make an effort to reach out to those constituents as well. And they are always changing, and the issues come up. But the important thing we all have to remember is we all have the best interests of our students at heart. And I think if we keep that in mind, and when important issues come up, we do reach out to everyone and discuss the issues. And some of the issues can be very contentious, as you know, but to discuss them in a reasonable manner and, again, do the analytical analysis, have good dialogue, I think we can come up with great solutions and move Alaska forward in the area of education.
And just to follow up on that, as we talk to educators, principals, one of the things they often talk about is distance education, saving money and teachers and all that by providing classes online. Would you have any reflection on how that works and what you see as the future of distance ed?
Through the chair, Senator, thank you for your question. I think it's an excellent question just because, you know, it's amazing how far we are advancing with technology, and we're probably one or two steps behind the potential of using that. And I'll use an example when I was at Charter College. You know, a lot of, at the time I was there, we were moving from, you know, the primary classroom-based education to what was called a blended model of education. And that blended model of education meant that there were still classroom opportunities with students, but also a lot of the learning was online, and it was actually very good because it provided flexibility for students if they couldn't be in a class at a certain time or meet all the classes. They had flexibility on the online portion. And to answer your question, I think exploring innovative ideas like that are going to be very important, probably for two or three reasons. The first reason being it is financially, from a financial perspective, it does save money. You know, second, it's a wonderful tool of collaborating diversity throughout a state or the country or however large you want to go with something like that. And, you know, I think the third point, and I mentioned this earlier before, is that if you have wonderful, engaged instructors, you know, they're still going to make an outstanding impact with the students. But technology is here. We just have to really figure out from an innovative perspective how to embrace it and use it, again, so that we're improving learning in the state.
Thank you. Thank you. A couple more questions. How do children progress through the grades in your school? In other words, what determines if the child goes from first grade to second grade, third grade to fourth grade? Is it teacher observation? Is it a combination of that and an assessment? Tell us how a child progresses through the grades.
Through the chair, Senator, thank you for your question. I think it's a wonderful question. You know, I see two components to assessing children at my institution here. One is subjective, and it comes from the teachers. The teachers can observe the students, and some students aren't good test takers, but they have other strengths. They may be excellent at oral communication. They may be able to show their learning through creative means, such as drawings or projects. And so I really value the teacher's perspective as it relates to where a student is in assessment. The second part is, and I think this was true when we were in school, it's still true today, you know, there are ways of measuring it more objectively, information, and that's with tests. And again, but having the teacher be the person that is helping assess. So I think that hopefully answers your question, at least related to our school with assessments. We use you know, a couple of means to ensure that they're ready to move on, and we feel confident and confident that they will be successful at the next level. As it relates to getting to the next level, we are a junior and senior high school, and from a high school perspective, it's really more credit-driven. So, you know, if you have enough credits to move on to the next grade, you do. If you failed classes, and you don't have quite enough credits to become a senior, you would still be a junior, and you may have to spend an extra semester either back at school or in the summer doing credit recovery courses.
Do you have end of the course assessments, end of the year assessments? Do you have an assessment that a senior must pass to graduate from your high school? Could you touch upon that?
So through the chair, Senator, thank you for your question. We do not have something like that, like a state graduate or a school graduation exam that we give the students. Again, they go through by class. And we have wonderful teachers. I'm very proud of my teachers, and I can't overemphasize how very important teachers are to the education process. And I think, again, we've had wonderful results with our students, and, again, I'm very proud of my teachers and staff here.
So your teachers haven't come to you and have stated that there's too much testing going on in your school?
Yeah, and through the chair, Senator, the tests we offer are the Terra Nova tests. We offer the ASVAB, and, again, we don't mandate it, but if the students wanted to, planning to go to college, we have the ACT and the SAT.
So Terra Nova is a norm reference test. How do your students do compared to their peers in the country?
A good question. Our students are generally where they should be. Sometimes they're higher. I mean, it really depends on the student. But our students do perform very well on these tests. And with the PSAT, it's something we do offer, actually starting in ninth grade to help the students identify where gaps are so they are ready to take the SAT and the ACT when it's time to take those tests. But from a performance perspective, I'm pretty proud of our students.
Questions from the senators? Well, I've got another one. So I'm going to just drill down for a moment. Going back to the concept of Common Core, you stated that your school does not have Common Core. What is your curriculum? If it's not Common Core, if it's not a derivative of Common Core, and if it's not, I'm assuming it's not, or is it? Is it the Alaska standards that we have now, or is it something else?
Through the chair, Senator, thank you for your question. I would say it's a derivative of a couple of different things, and just so you folks are aware, we were recently evaluated by Advanced Ed. As you folks know, Advanced Ed evaluates and accredits schools. Something we're looking at doing that was an outcome of that is continuing to look at our curriculum. But a lot of what we do is really based on the older Alaska standards, and again, they've been very successful for us. And my thoughts are if something's working, why change it?
Do you have teachers in your school that taught in public school at one time?
Through the chair, Senator, thank you for your question. Yes. We have a number of teachers that have taught in the public school system.
Okay. Data sharing, data gathering, it's also a big issue associated with some of the new mandates and assessments that the state is grappling with right now. What's your philosophy on student data, sharing of student data, gathering student data? Can you give us some thoughts?
Through the chair, Senator, thank you for your question. As it relates to data, data points are important, but I think, to collect data and just for the purpose of collecting it and having it doesn't make any sense at all. So I think of what's really important is, it really needs to be, whatever you're going to collect, it needs to be used for continuous improvement. And to be quite honest, I've seen a lot of things that schools or other institutions would like to collect on people or students, and I think that it's too much. If it doesn't serve a purpose, I don't believe it needs to be collected. And again, I think it's a much longer conversation than this, but we have to sit down and we have to talk to our stakeholders and understand their concerns related to privacy and information, understand, the benefit of that information, and, ultimately, is it helping us improve our schools? Because, again, just to collect data for the sake of collecting data to me makes no sense at all.
And I've got, truly, I think this would be my last question. 5 years from now, when you look back, what would you like to be able to point to that you were part of that you would give you satisfaction or you'd be proud of in which you you could say it was time worthwhile spent on the board? What would be one thing you could look back to your hope is that you were part of?
And through the chair, Senator, thank you for your question. I think it would really have to be, because I think we're in a challenging time here in the state of Alaska. I know you folks are facing it down there in Juneau. But really, to work to find the long-term solutions for funding education, the sustainability while still continuing and improving student performance results and learning. And, I think if we can do that in these challenging times, if we're innovative, if we communicate, if we collaborate, I think that's a success, and I'd be very proud after 5 years if that occurs.
Any additional questions for Mr. Harmon? Seeing none. Mr. Harmon, we want to thank you. I'm going to make a couple statements here that I need to make. In accordance with AS 390580, the Education Committee reviewed John Harmon for an appointment to the State Board of Education and recommends that his name be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. This does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of John Harmon during any further sessions. And I would just ask the committee if they got any closing thoughts. This is our last meeting of the year. It's amazing how time flies. Sunday, it appears, we'll be looking at confirmations. I was hoping to have a little bit of time off on Sunday, but apparently I was fooling myself. But anyway, I just want to thank you, Mr. Harmon, for your willingness to serve the state of Alaska. Any comments before we close? Senator?
Mr. Harmon, you sound like a very nice man and quite competent, outstanding probably in some areas. I'm just going to tell you, while I don't have a problem with you personally, I'm probably going to vote against both the Board of Education nominations that are up. I haven't made a final decision, but I'm very troubled by the fact that we don't have any board representation from credentialed teachers, experienced classroom teachers, K-12 public school teachers, and I think that it's important that we do that. The Board of Medicine, whatever it's called, that they would never dream of not having doctors on it. The Board of Nurses has nurses on it. The Board of Education, I think, really should have some public school teachers. So I think I would probably vote no.
Senator Stevens, any closing comments?
Well, thank you, Mr. Harmon. I am very impressed with your resume, impressed with your answers to our questions. I understand the comments were just made, but I serve on a school board as president of the school board. I have absolutely no background as a certificated teacher. I think we expect our Board of Education to be wise people and to move public education forward, and I think you sound like a man that could do that. Thank you.
Senator Giesel?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Harmon, as I listened to you, you took my memories back in time to the 10 years I served on a private school board, about the size of the school that you are principal of right now, and the challenges that you listed were the same ones we faced. I know how innovative our teachers and administration had to be. I know how challenged the board was, and I think you'll bring some very important dynamics to the state school board. So thank you very much for being willing to serve.
And finally, I'll close. Mr. Harmon, I'm as Senator Stevens said, I'm impressed with your resume. You graduated from Glacier View, which is in my district, and it is a very small school isolated on the Glen Highway. It's, as some would say, in the middle of nowhere. That's an experience I think will be valuable on our school board. You come from the Valley, which is the fastest growing area of the state, which is bringing on close to 250 students a year. That's important. Your family background is public education. As you mentioned, your father is a principal, a psychologist in Anchorage, and you've got relatives that are public school teachers. And again, just to touch a little bit on what Senator Stevens was alluding to, I too was on the school board, and I have an education background. For some, that
didn't matter. That was some in the public education sphere that didn't matter that I had a public education background. And where I'm going with this is I think on the State School Board of Education, it's a regulatory board, it's a policy board, and I think you should have a cross-section of society, and I think the more varied different experiences that one can bring to that board, I think you bring one brings a whole host of ideas. The administration of EED is public educators, from Commissioner Hanley to Deputy Commissioner Morris to Dr. McCauley. They're educators, public educators, just like we have in local school districts. Local school districts, you have individuals in this case that are elected. They're not appointed based upon the qualifications. They're interested parties. They run. They're elected by their constituency to represent the voice of the people for that district. And personally, I don't see anything wrong with that on the state school board. I think we have some fine practitioners, some fine public educators that are in administration. And I have to commend the governor on his ability to find you and your willingness to serve. So with that, we're going to close the meeting, and some of us will wish you luck. Thank you.
We have to sign our... There we go.